This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour two of the Lombardi Line on VSiN and DraftKings Network. The show, as always, presented by DraftKings. I'm Stormy Bonatoni alongside Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino, where we are broadcasting from in downtown Las Vegas. Lots to get to over the course of the next hour. Coming up in about 15 minutes, ESPN Radio's Freddie Coleman is going to stop by. We'll get into all the big picture, NFL, potentially some NBA topics as well. We'll have Mike's best bets in. We got some soccer plays. We got some baseball things happening. So
Little WNBA.
Splash, which is always fun, and of course plenty of NFL this hour, which is where we're going to start, because this Dak Prescott photo has just gone all over social media of him in a walking boot in Cabo this weekend. Juan Carlos Vasquez is the one that has posted this. It's gone all over the place, and there's been a lot of conflicting reports about it that he claims in a conversation with a newspaper via text that it was just a precautionary thing because he's had experiences deep sea fishing in the past where his ankle has swollen up. But all of the other reports say that no, it was an injury, but it's just a minor foot sprain, nothing to be concerned about.
Well, I also look at the syntax of the text, right? About the Star Telegram. He, is it him texting? He would say I, right? In this text?
I'm the one that put the he's in there.
Okay.
So yes, he said I. Correct.
So he directly answered the questions about his deep sea fishing. Obviously, he had a problem before he went deep sea fishing. If he felt perfectly fine, why would you subject yourself to a walking boot? Anybody that's been in a walking boot knows how uncomfortable it is. And as our producer, Stephanie Frania Kamerschak of the First Touchdown fame, has rightly asked, if you get injured deep sea diving, then why go deep sea diving? If you're anticipating you're going to have a problem with your ankle swelling up, why even participate in it? You can still go to Cabo without going deep sea diving. So obviously he has something, whether it means a lot to his preparation for the season, we don't know. But the suspicious nature of his quick answer and silly explanation makes you think there's some smoke here and maybe fire.
Their latest update on ESPN.com right now is that Dak recently suffered a minor right foot sprain that temporarily required a walking boot, a source told ESPN's Todd Archer. So that is the belief. He is out of the boot now. The injury is not expected to impact Prescott as training camp is around the corner later on, beginning for the Cowboys, I believe, July 25th.
Much more reasonable explanation.
You would think.
Yes, that he tweaked something.
But that's why that's odd to me. That's why I do think that there's something to this, that the reports all from these sources say this, but he's like, oh, no, I'm fine. It's precautionary. I'm great was the word. I'm great.
Well, once he had to put the boot on, did he say, well, let's go to Cabo because I can say that last time my ankle swelled and that's why I'm wearing the boot?
Sounds super fun. As it goes in the division, I mean, this is a team that has had three straight 12-win seasons. Last year, they probably shouldn't have won the division, but the Eagles fell apart, so they ultimately overtake to get the win. We mentioned it earlier. There hasn't been a repeat in this division in years and years since the early 2000s when the Eagles won three or four straight. Cowboys win total this year set at 10.5, as are the Eagles, but the numbers in the division odds have shifted pretty significantly here, where you have Philadelphia an even money favorite on DraftKings and the Cowboys plus 150. It's certainly the haves and the have-nots in the NFC East as well, with the Commanders and Giants there as well.
I think the interesting bet here, and I'm sure you can find it, is the superfecta, to use a horse race hitter Mike Somich term, the exact order of the four teams in the division, because I think there's a clear delineation between the Eagles and the Cowboys, and I also think the Commanders are going to be markedly better than the Giants. So you could bet that Eagles, exactly as they line up on the screen if you're watching, Eagles, Cowboys, Commanders, Giants, and it's, you know, it's a pick 'em really for the Commanders and the Giants. So you're getting the full value of like a minus 110 there and even money on a Cowboys-Eagles matchup, right? So, I mean, you get some nice odds there, more than probably around 5-1 if you wanted to bet that as the exact order, because I don't think the Cowboys are beating the Eagles, and I would be shocked if the Giants have more wins than the Commanders. Now, that might be 5-3 or might be right, but I think the Commanders, I would put them at 7 as the most likely number, and I actually think the Giants' most likely number is probably 5.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an uphill battle for the New York Giants this season. Both their win totals, though, the Commanders and Giants set at 6.5. Yeah. for anyone who missed it, JP Finley of NBC Sports Washington was joining us in the last segment. And if you do want to go back and re-listen, Lombardi Line always available each and every day in podcast form, wherever you get your podcasts. But he was talking about some of the expectations for Jaden Daniels. He could see this as a 7-win team. He could see Jaden Daniels as a potential rookie of the year this season. What do you think about Washington big picture? Do you think they could exceed these expectations that they have set out for him, a 6.5-win total?
Well, JP certainly put a lot of the blame at Sam Howell's feet, didn't he? Because I pushed back on that. And
The combination of Sam Howell and Eric Bieniemy not running
calling,
the ball.
Play calling. So that gives you an outlook here for Jaden Daniels. I think it's interesting in the market about rookie of the year, but also in the passing yards. Who's going to lead in passing yards as far as Daniels is concerned? I think they will have an offense where they're going to rely on throwing the ball a little bit more. I think the Bears, a little conservative. They like to run the football and play in more weather in Chicago later in the year, whereas in Washington, D.C., the conditions are more moderate. Now, I know they get some of those crazy rain games, but you're not going to have the frigid conditions and the snow like you get in Chicago that could hamper passing yards, as that being a factor as well. I mean, I think it's interesting if you take a little peek. I don't think McCarthy will play early enough. I don't think Bo Nix will be successful. Penix you'll see in 4 years in Atlanta. Drake May, we have the reports that he's going to start maybe week 13. So you can really narrow this down to two, I think, in this race. And, of course, injury always plays a factor. But I think Daniels at plus 250, if you want to tie up your money, obviously this is a year-long bet, it is worth a shot in that market.
Yeah, Caleb Williams, the even money favorite atop that odds board. As for rookie of the year, Williams, a plus 135 favorite. Daniels available there at plus 550. Now, yes, this is a football show on the Lombardi Line, but let's go from football to football.
We're going to get away from it for a few minutes?
For a few minutes. Okay, I'll allow it quickly. This time and this time only. No, what do you have in soccer this week or today?
Today, as we see Spain just now, in extra time with Germany 1-1 there. I played this France-Portugal game under 2.5. Shop on the price. I saw some books minus 190. You can get it at others at minus 160. I also bet France to win to nil. I don't think Portugal scores today. France under Didier Deschamps has been just tremendous defensively. And you see, once you get to the knockout stage, these games are going to tend to play unders, and first half unders are always a good play as well. You can play no score in the first half in that game with France at plus 150 if you're interested as well. Tomorrow I'm going to play a rare over, and you're going to play the juice to this. The Netherlands against Turkey. Turkey with the mild upset of Austria in the round of 16, taking on the Netherlands, who have scored two or more goals in all but one of their games so far here. I think this game has the potential for four or five goals. You even might look at an over three where you don't have to lay the juice there. You can get it at a plus price. Those are my two soccer plays.
I don't follow the sport nearly to the level that you do, but I see on social media all the time people losing their minds about how tough it is to sweat some of these unders in soccer lately and the bad beats that you have late in games and extra time.
Well, because when you lose in soccer, when there's only a couple of instances of scoring and the goal comes late and it's called extra time, so you think, the game should have been over anyhow. And the subjectivity of the extra time is ludicrous, right? You'll think there's going to be four. It's supposed to be when they stopped it because there was an injury and whatever time was taken to do substitutions, plus if there's celebration of goals, right? These are things that contribute. And the referee sort of loosely keeps track on his watch. When you think, well, nothing really happened, you're going to get three or four minutes. Oh, there's 7 minutes, right? And then they score in the sixth minute. That's why I think the end game is so important in soccer, because you can get to the 88th minute now and you've got an under 2.5 and there's two goals. And depending on what the pregame number was and the stuff, you can go the other way and say there's going to be a goal and get 4-1, 5-1, 6-1 and lock up a winner there. The soccer is played at such a pace where the end game makes it. It's tough, like where there's a lot of scoring like the NBA, because the number's constantly changing and you're trying to get it in on your app. I didn't really have anything in Copa going on as well. Obviously, the USA is out. That's one of the headlines. Yep. Canada plays today. And then the big matchup is Brazil and Uruguay in the quarterfinals. I bet Uruguay at 5-1 before the tournament started. They won all three games in their group, were dominant, and now they're plus 525. So I got no value out of getting them through to this point. I do have three plays in Major League Baseball today. If we go in chronological order, listen, Paul Skenes hasn't had a bad start yet.
Happy Paul Skenes Day to all who celebrate, because we're back again.
We're back. Maybe we see Livy. He went to Atlanta and struggled. He didn't have command on Saturday, but pitched his way out of three jams in six innings. Pitched very well there. I like him today against the Mets. Back at home. I thought about first five, but you got to pay the extra juice. I bet this number at minus 129. I know at DraftKings it's 142 up to 135. I wouldn't lay 142. I'd lay probably 135-ish here if you still had this. So much juice on the first five. I looked at it was 129 or 170. I'm not laying that much juice to take the bullpens out of the game. Look, the Yankees are really struggling. The Reds just swept them. I went both ways of this. I bet the Yankees, Tanner Houck and Boston Red Sox tonight against the Yankees at plus 128. Houck, the dog here. I know he had a tough start last time out against Atlanta, but I look for these Yankees slide to continue. Saw Trent Grisham in center field lollygag a ball yesterday being booed at Yankee Stadium. The tide has sort of turned back against the Yankees. And then the Reds. Look, I thought they played a great series in St. Louis over the weekend. Ended up with a split because they didn't score any runs in two games. Lance Lynn pitched very well on Sunday, and then the opening loss, one run in the game on an error. I like the Reds coming back against Detroit, who's kind of letting go of the rope here. Reese Olson, who I was betting on earlier in the year because he got no run support, still historically bad run support, has started to slip if you look at his metrics the last three starts. So we'll take Cincinnati as a small home favorite as our last baseball play. And then the Dream have three starters out tonight playing in Dallas. This line was 1.5 on the overnight. Now 4, 4.5 in some places. I didn't get the best of the numbers, so I'm going to lay the money line with the Wings at home tonight, minus 185.
You've done a good job not only obviously monitoring rosters, but scheduling spots in the WNBA.
I need to do some research here. Maybe we get Dave Tullio. Who does the scheduling in the WNBA? I've never seen so many mismatched spots for teams. I mean, the NBA has a few spots a week. You can find like five of these spots. Here's one other thing, and it didn't happen last night. But the team playing a home game after they host Caitlin Clark. The Aces covered last night or whatever. But it's a big letdown when you play in front of 20,000 people and then the next night you're back to 3,000.
We talk in college football and other sports about situational spots. That makes too much sense. We're going to hit the break. When we come back, ESPN Radio's Freddie Coleman going to stop by. Don't go anywhere.
Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sober, our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide is out now, jam-packed with in-depth profiles of each and every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems and betting trends, everything you need to bet this season smarter. Plus, of course, our experts and analysts share their top plays on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need ahead of the year. But to get the guide, you must be a VSiN Pro subscriber. And for a limited time, we're going from our usual $240 price to just $199 when you use our promo code Lombardi. Plus, when you use that code, we're throwing in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do. That includes the daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits, and as I mentioned, all of our special edition guides, including the NFL guide, which is out now. VSiN.com/subscribe is how you can handle everything. Use that promo code Lombardi, VSiN.com/subscribe. Alongside Mike Palm, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line live from Circa Resort and Casino. Excited to continue diving into NFL headlines with Freddie Coleman, who joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line, co-host of ESPN Radio's Afternoon Drive show, Freddie and Harry from 3 to 7 Eastern at Freddie Coleman on X. And in addition to celebrating the 4th of July this week, Freddie, we're also celebrating an anniversary for you, 20 years strong at ESPN Radio. Congrats, my friend.
And thank you so much. It's always good that they always treat the elderly quite kindly as they get older and older. So I always appreciate that, and thank you so much.
The knees are still good, though, right? Knees are still good?
The knees don't need any replacement, so I don't have any titanium or anything like that in my knees like Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump. So I'm doing pretty good as far as that goes.
The beautiful thing, my friend. Appreciate you joining us. And let's get into the big news of the day in the NFL around the Dallas Cowboys and this whole Dak Prescott walking boot situation. And a little bit of he said, she said with reports out there right now that he did suffer a minor foot sprain to be in the boot. But he's also texting people that it's precautionary more so because of an experience that he's had in the past, deep sea fishing. It's all very interesting. What's your perspective on things?
See, this is why the Dallas Cowboys are the Dallas Cowboys. I'd like to call them the Dumpster Fire Show. They're not America's team. They're the Dumpster Fire Show. Although I'm really surprised it took this long for that information. to become public, because I'm really, really am surprised that this was kept that hidden that long, especially involving Dak Prescott and the situation going into the regular season and the fact that he plays for the Dallas Cowboys. So whatever this intrigue is, whatever this mystery novel that's going to be, the fact remains that he is the player under the most pressure going into this season, because you don't know what's going to happen with his contract. You don't know that if the Dallas Cowboys make the playoffs, what he's going to do there and how Jerry Jones is going to handle this being all in. So when you have all that encircling Dak Prescott and you add this on top of that, it's going to be a very, very interesting training camp going into the first game of the season for that team before they open up versus Cleveland.
Freddie, I want to ask you about Brandon Ayuk and whether you think ultimately he ends up back with the 49ers, or is there any fire to this smoke? He's friends with Terry McLaurin, that the Commanders are interested in him and could pull off a deal.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen this close to training camp, because pretty much you have your rosters set who you want to go into training camp with and who's going to be there. It had to be something blockbuster, that kind of variety, for the San Francisco 49ers not to turn that away. And then if you're Brandon Ayuk, you have to have assurances that the Washington Commanders are going to provide you with a new contract. I still believe the 49ers want to keep him at their prices, because I think if they have to choose between him and Deebo Samuel, they'd rather have Brandon Ayuk, who I think is one of the best route runners in the National Football League that nobody talks about, that he can run the short, intermediate, and deep routes and create that separation against a defensive back. Right now, the San Francisco 49ers know that they have that kind of leverage. So whatever smoke is out there on social media, whatever that is, and unfollowing the team on the Twitter handle, it doesn't really matter that come first day of training camp season, is Brandon Ayuk going to be there for the San Francisco 49ers? And if he is there, I don't think they're going to trade him. And then he's got to work for that contract and prove his worth again, and then hope he doesn't get injured, where that takes that potential money off the table for him.
And I, as a 49ers fan, would just like all of this to be put to bed. Just get on the field. Let's try to make a run at a Super Bowl here, ladies and gentlemen. While we're talking wide receivers, though, another deal that has been coming to the forefront recently, with the market changing as much as it has this offseason, Justin Jefferson obviously getting his big payday. Tyreek Hill says that he's looking for a new deal as well, and that he's excited to see where he fits in the new wide receiver market. Currently under contract through 2026, but how do you think this shakes out, especially when there's also the Tua Tagovailoa contract going on in the background as well?
I guarantee you that people in Kansas City gone right now saying, yeah, we went through this, and that's why he's no longer a member of the Kansas City Chiefs, because you're exactly right. When the market really shifted that way to those wide receivers, and it started with Justin Jefferson in Minnesota, then Amon-Ra St. Brown of the Detroit Lions got his deal. The minute that that happened, you knew that not only a guy like Brandon Ayuk was going to be affected, but then a guy like Tyreek Hill was going to say, wait a minute, I'm one of the best receivers in the National Football League, and right now, in terms of capital, in terms of money, I've fallen way down that ladder. So it was only a matter of time before that was going to rear its ugly head for the Miami Dolphins. The question is, you know you have to take care of your quarterback. And if you believe that Tua Tagovailoa is your guy, then that's the guy that's going to be priority one. And the more that I don't hear anything between the Dolphins and Tua, that means that's telling me that something is going on behind the scenes, that they're working out a deal. Whenever that happens, then Tyreek Hill will be taken care of, but it's not going to be to his liking. It's not going to be according to his schedule. If they value Tua Tagovailoa that much, or they want to do another wait and see you with him, and then if Dak Prescott is out there, they go get him. Either way, those are going to be the priorities at that position. Tyreek Hill can groan and moan all he wants, but he is not going to be dealt with until they deal with the quarterback situation, whether it's Tua Tagovailoa or somebody else from the Miami Dolphins after 2024.
Freddie, let's switch to the NBA for a few minutes. How impactful will Buddy Hield going to Golden State be in the landscape of the Western Conference?
Boy, that's a really good question, because if you're Buddy Hield, it's one thing to join that basketball team, but then you're the guy replacing an iconic guy in Klay Thompson. I don't know if I want to wish that on anybody jumping into that situation, but he has shot over 40% from the three-point line the last 4 years. So we know he has the ability to put the ball in the basket. And now you got playmakers along the lines of Draymond Green and Steph Curry that'll find him with the basketball when he can relocate and knock down those shots. I don't know what happened in Philadelphia, but I do remember that one game in the series against the Knicks where he did not miss a three-point shot in the first half. And I'm thinking, well, thank God they're keeping this guy on the bench, because that guy could have put this series around against my New York Knicks. So I don't know what was going on there between him and Nick Nurse. But I do know that if you have the ability to knock down shots, you're going to be a perfect fit for that Golden State offense. And the fact that he's going to be a lot cheaper and maybe less of a headache than we saw last year with Golden State and Klay Thompson, you don't have to have that hanging over your head. he may turn out to be a hidden gem that nobody talked about that could make Golden State a little bit better in the Western Conference if it works out to his liking and to the liking for that Golden State offense.
Okay, Freddie, you mentioned your New York Knicks, obviously a big addition in Mikal Bridges, but then also the 76ers bring in Paul George. I'm sure you guys have had this conversation plenty, but who is now the biggest competition to the Boston Celtics in the East in your mind?
To me, it's still the New York Knicks because I still wonder how Joel Embiid will deal with the pressure more than ever before because they have no excuses in Philadelphia that you bring in a Paul George and you re-sign Tyrese Maxey to that big contract and Joel Embiid believes now you got the pieces around him that can help him. He doesn't have any excuse that if you don't make the Eastern Conference Finals and what's going on in Philadelphia, and a lot of that blame is going to be pointed at him. I just look at the Knicks having four bucket getters where you got Jalen Brunson, you got Julius Randle, you got OG Anunoby who they re-signed, and then you get Mikal Bridges in a trade with the Brooklyn Nets. So I know they lost Isaiah Hartenstein, but give me four guys that at any given time can give me 19 to 25 points a game, and I'll take those four over that three when it comes to the Philadelphia 76ers. Plus, I think that Tom Thibodeau, having the kind of culture that the Knicks have right now, is going to have an understanding from players buying in where there's not going to be a long runway to get comfortable when it comes to Mikal Bridges because he knows what that's like. It's still going to be a long runway for Paul George to understand exactly how to fit with Tyrese Maxey and how to fit with Joel Embiid and make that work. The four guys the Knicks have together, they understand what the culture is going to be and how that's going to be able to make that work. It's going to be a lot easier transition early on than Philadelphia. That's why I think they're the biggest competition of the Boston Celtics in the East.
Freddie, Red Sox at Yankees. Yankees just get swept at home by the Reds. A really boom or bust season so far for the Yankees. How hot is Aaron Boone's seat right now?
It's not hot, but I'll say the guy's hot seat who is for the New York Yankees is the pitching coach because their pitching at times has been atrocious when it comes to that. I think Aaron Boone is going to be fine because if it's a softball kind of game, the Yankees are going to win that. If it's an 11-9 game, we have a beer league softball game, then the Yankees are going to win that. But at a certain point, you got to be able to find quality pitching, and you're not going to be able to find that at the trading deadline. So what can you do with the guys you have to make that better? Because the trading prospects are not going to be out there because so many teams believe they can still win it. So if you're the New York Yankees, you got to find a way to make sure that pitching is better, or you're going to be on the wrong end of a lot of 8-7, 7-6 games that we've seen so far from June heading into early July.
Freddie, we always appreciate you lending your time. Have a great show today, and thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. You guys have a great weekend, and take care.
You thanks, as well. Freddie Coleman, at Freddie Coleman on X. Of course, check out Freddie and Harry today and every weekday on ESPN Radio from 3 to 7 Eastern. The Yankees have dropped 14 of their last 19 games, and another reason why you like the Red Sox to extend their five-game win streak against
yeah,
them.
Yeah, two teams going in opposite directions here,
yeah,
and
seems like
you're getting a plus price still on this game. I would have bet this at closer to a pick'em. I think Houck bounces back. I know Mitch got him at 60-1 for AL Cy Young. I saw him as low as around 12-1 earlier.
Always appreciate Freddie. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back on the Lombardi Line, we're breaking down season win totals for each NFL team with a new head coach. Will these coaches taste sweet, sweet victory in 2024, or will year one be sour? We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you haven't already, make sure you check out the new and improved VSiN.com. Each and every day, best bets from our VSiN show hosts and experts, updated betting splits, exclusive articles, including columns from our own Michael Lombardi each and every week, betting tools, betting guides like the NFL betting guide, by the way, which is out right now. Get set with all you need to know for the upcoming NFL season. Training camps will be here before we know it. We're even doing an updated NFL guide once training camps are through to make sure you have all the injury updates that you need. VSiN.com, the place to be. Speaking of that NFL betting guide, one of the pieces in it, as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line on a Friday, was Michael Lombardi's insights into the impact of new head coaches in the NFL this year. It was really cool to see the difference of like Michael's insight as a former NFL executive paired with the following article of Steve Mackinnon looking at more of the betting trends and analytical side of things behind it. But thought that would be fun exercise for us to go through some of the season win totals for these new head coaches in the NFL in a game of sweet or sour. So will these new head coaches taste sweet, sweet victory in their first seasons with their respective teams? Or will year one be sour? Let's start with Jim Harbaugh because he is somebody who is, you know, among the short shots to be a coach of the year this season. the Chargers. We had one person in our guide, Jonathan Von Tobel, shout out, who said maybe it's not going to be the Chiefs in the AFC West and that the Chargers could be a worst to first candidate. Their win total is sitting at 8.5. How's that feel to you?
I think the win total's low. I actually thought this would be 9 or 9.5. I think following Brandon Staley, if you're just competent managing games, you can pick up 3 victories. I mean, his go for it on fourth down theories and play calling in the last minutes of games was even worse than Anthony Lynn. I think he'll instill toughness in this team on both sides of the ball. And I think he's in a division where, with the Raiders really not going into the season with a quarterback, I think you pick up four division wins with sweeps over the Broncos and the Raiders. And so I think an interesting game is Week 2 against the Panthers, right? I think that's an interesting spot because, you know, if you like them over 8.5, that's probably a game that you think that you can win. You don't have a lot of home field advantage, but how much will Harbaugh add to the excitement there in Southern California? Maybe you can get some 50-50 crowds there at SoFi. So I would go over the 8.5 here.
And I think the juice says as much, probably appropriately priced there at the -155 with that thought process. I'm not the biggest fan of the early buy in Week 5. I'm sure they're not either. But when you look at what Jim Harbaugh has brought to every team that he has coached historically, think about San Diego, Stanford, Michigan. He's 144-42 as a collegiate head coach. When he's with the San Francisco 49ers for those handful of years, 44-19-1. And as a 49ers fan, like, I remember how rough it was prior to Jim Harbaugh's arrival. There, it was 8 straight seasons of sub-500 years. 8-8 was, he took over, they were 8-8. 6-10 the year Singletary got fired. He steps in, they go 13-3 that following year. Make an NFC title game. I was looking through the numbers from a win total perspective for him in San Francisco. So that first year, 13-3. Then 2012, the following year, they have a 10 win total, go 11-5, go to the Super Bowl. 2013, 11.5 win total, they go 12-4, lose a close game to Seattle in the NFC Championship. And then, of course, 8-8 the last season when things were kind of falling apart with Balky there. But every season win total that they had, even as it got elevated, they exceeded. So it would not surprise me one bit to see him do that year one with the Los Angeles Chargers.
I don't recall how bad the 49ers were before he got there and how quick he turned it around. I mean, that was Singletary and Tom Sula, I mean, who might have been the worst head coach in history. Those were barren years of not even sniffing the playoffs, and he goes to 3 straight NFC championship games with Alex Smith, right?
Yep.
So he has immediate impact. I mean, I remember they beat USC when they were 40-point dog when he was at Stanford. So he does have quick turnarounds, and he comes to a team with talent, obviously, on both sides of the ball.
So 5-12 for the Chargers last year. See what level of that turnaround we can see in year one. Raheem Morris, new head coach with the Atlanta Falcons, another one of those retread head coaches. Season win total for the Atlanta Falcons, 9.5. They're an odds-on favorite in the division. We know the offensive talent they have felt underutilized a season ago. Can Raheem Morris get the most out of this group?
I think it's tough. I think it's tough to get over, actually, with this one. If I had to go, I might go under. Even though it's just, I'm not paying 135 to go over 9.5 to say that they're going to be 10-7. I'm not sure the division is, that they've separated themselves that much in the division. Maybe New Orleans is worse than you think, but I think Tampa and Carolina are undervalued in the market. When you look at their games that are outside of their division, I mean, at Eagles, Chiefs, it's a tough start. If you don't beat the Steelers in Week 1, you're looking at 0-3 here. And then you get into your schedule. You do get to play the Seahawks at home, but Cowboys is no gimme game, obviously. You have to go on the road and play at Elevation at Denver. At Vikings, I think that's the big game with Kirk Cousins going back home here. So I think it's a 9-win team, maybe 8. I'll go under if it's a binary conversation.
3 of their 4 primetime games in the first 5 weeks of the season. So it'll be an interesting start there, certainly, for the Atlanta Falcons.
Cousins is no great thing on primetime. You know, he's struggled under the bright lights at times. So
We have a lot of numbers, unfortunately, to back that up on old Kirko there. How about the Washington Commanders? This is a team that we've actually talked about a good bit today, which I'm glad that we did because I feel like we haven't talked much Washington here on the program lately. Mm-hmm. But Dan Quinn in year one in this spot, win total 6.5.
I think Dan Quinn has a big opportunity to come in here. And obviously what he can do on the defensive side of the ball, notwithstanding what happened against the Packers in the playoffs last year, and make improvements. I think they have enough talent at the running back position and at the wide receiver position that if they can give enough protection to the rookie quarterback, that they have a big potential here. I actually like them over the 6.5. I think that they are a 7 or 8 win team here. I think that they'll beat the Giants twice. Maybe they steal a game from the Cowboys inside of their division. Tough game against the Bengals on Monday Night Football. Remember that season opening game against the Cardinals where they were the very popular pick in Survivor Week 1? The most popular pick to steal a game was, where were you going to use the Commanders the rest of the way? It was a sweat, but they got there. They get the return favor where they have to go to Arizona early in the year here. But I'll lay the juice on over 6.5 with Dan Quinn. I've always thought Dan Quinn was a tremendous coach. Obviously, those teams he built under Pete Carroll in Seattle, and he got Dallas to double-digit wins the last 3 years as well.
And probably 2 years too many for Ron Rivera in Washington, if we're honest. 4-13 last season. As far as the price on the 6.5, -130 to the over, and you are getting plus money on the under. Oh, you mentioned the Seattle Seahawks. They have a new head coach as well in Mike McDonald, who comes over, former defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. They were the best defense in football last year. Win total 7.5 in Seattle. They exceed those expectations?
Over. Yeah. I like Seattle. I think they're a playoff team. Look, they've gotten a lot out of Geno Smith, and I know Dave Canales leaves after having been, I hope it's not an Arthur Smith, Ryan Tannehill, where when Arthur Smith left, Tannehill fell off a cliff in Tennessee. But you've seen good production out of Geno, and, you know, when you go back and you look at it, his last year was better than any year Russell Wilson had in the height of their Super Bowl year. So from an offensive standpoint, I think he makes immediate impact. I think he was the best assistant coach last year with what he did with the Ravens defense, and I'm high on them, actually. I think they'll have a very good year in Seattle. I think maybe Pete's message got a little old there. Yeah. Not saying that Pete deserved not to be the head coach, but they made the decision to move on and get a fresh voice in the locker room, and I think they got the number one pick of what was available out there in terms of assistant coaches going to head coach.
Because you mentioned this could be a playoff team, obviously the 49ers are a large odds-on favorite, -195 in the NFC West. I like the Rams this year, too. Their win total is at 8.5. Who do you think ultimately has more wins than between the Seahawks and Rams? You like Seattle over L.A.?
I do. I do because, I don't know, again, with Stafford, I'm surprised how far he made it last year. I think the durability continues to be an issue. I think it was a little bit of smoke and mirrors with the Rams last year. They won a couple games they probably shouldn't have during the course of the regular season. But yes, I have them ranked in the West as the second best team.
Okay, you mentioned Dave Canales, new head coach of the Carolina Panthers, did a really great job with Baker Mayfield in Tampa. You mentioned the Seattle connection that he had with Russell Wilson. Win total has gone up from 4.5 to 5.5. And even at that number, you think it's an over? I know we talked about turnoff earlier, but what do you think?
It's interesting. I don't know if I can get there. I still think he's too short, Bryce Young. They said, he's done this great weight training program. He's added all this muscle. Well, did he add 3 inches of muscle in his feet, you know, to get him over? When I looked at him play, he looks, Stormy, on the TV, he looks tiny. He just looks so
tiny.
Did
you see, bless his heart. And I've met him, and I did feel like I was a large person next to him, which didn't make me feel awesome.
You are tall.
But he did a kids camp this summer, and you see the videos of him with the kids, and it's like he's not much bigger than them. And I think it's just good for perspective to understand the scale, but he is a small guy. Yes.
He is really a small guy. It just stands out more with him to me. I don't know why it is. He's also not big and bulky in those terms. Look, if it was 4.5, I'd go over the alt, but I'm not laying juice. I don't know if I can get there with that quarterback.
I think they're going to be much better. I'm just not sure how far we can take them. And as someone who is married to a Carolina Panthers fan, please win more than 2, okay? Last year was rough. We turned the TV off after 2 series. He couldn't take it anymore. We'll see, by the way, as that made my husband physically ill. Will some of these bets I'm going to present you next make you sick? Would Palm have a qualm coming up?
Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't already, it is time to get the VSiN NFL betting guide. Make this year your best ever betting the sport. This guide is jam-packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for each. We've got new quarterback and new head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl picks and predictions, a prop betting guide, plus, of course, futures bets in all the NFL awards markets, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, the list goes on. Whether you are a seasoned bettor or you're just getting started, our VSiN NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Head to vsin.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide today. That's vsin.com/guide.
Some bets just don't sit right with Mike Palm. You took all the money you made and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters? Are you considering a bet that would make him sick?
I'm going to throw up. I think I'm going to throw up.
Don't throw up.
It's time to ask Mike, would Palm have a qualm?
Would Palm have a qualm? And we're kicking things off here in Major League Baseball, starting with the Houston Astros. Would Mike Palm have a qualm with the Astros to win the American League at 8-1?
Well, in week two, Stormy, I bet them not to make the playoffs. Christian Javier was hurt, and then Framber got hurt. And I said, this pitching staff is so decimated. And now, all of a sudden, what, they're 8-2 in their last 10, and they're within two games of Seattle, and they look like they're going to be squarely in the playoffs, if not winning the AL West. It's tough. I don't know that anyone in the Central can win it. I still think the Guardians are a lot of smoke and mirrors. I do think Baltimore is the best team in the American League right now. But at 8-1, I don't have a qualm with that price.
I know how much you also like the old San Diego Padres. And
I've been saying they're going to get hot. This lineup can't be this anemic scoring runs. And they have. They took it on the road. They've continued. They lost that first game in Texas. They got shut out by Eboldi. But then they won the last two to win the series again.
They've won 11 of their last 14 games now. In the National League, the price is 20-1.
Yeah.
Would Palm have a qualm?
I don't have a qualm. You could, if you were 2 weeks ago, you could have got this at north of 30. I saw some 32, 33 to 1 out there. I still think they're squarely going to be in the playoffs. I do believe they can beat the Dodgers in a series. I believe they can beat the Brewers in a series. Harper Schwarber out for a while now for the Phillies. They have some tough series coming up against Atlanta. I don't think it's that bad of a price because I think ultimately, I'm not a big believer in the Dodgers. I think ultimately in the National League, it will come down to Braves, Phillies, and Padres. I think those are the three teams that can win the National League.
From America's pastime to an American holiday yesterday, the 4th of July, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest was a hit. Earlier in the show, we had the 10-time mustard belt champ, Mickey Sudo, on the women's side join the program. And it got me thinking about hot dogs. I went to hotdog.org yesterday. And apparently, among their list of hot dog etiquette, proper ways and ways not to eat a hot dog, one of them, number one actually on the list, was that hot dogs with ketchup should not be eaten beyond the age of 18. Would Palm have a qualm with ketchup on a hot dog for me, for example?
No, I eat it. You know what the
sound
point? The what is it up to? $1.75?
Is it? They raised prices?
I thought
it was $1.50.
Three max. It might be. I remember when it was a dollar. I put ketchup and light onion. That's what I put on it. Sometimes relish. Depends on the mood. I have no problem with ketchup. The ketchup is great. Ketchup on eggs, fried eggs. It's all okay.
It's not a steak, okay? It's a hot dog, you know?
No, like, they're purists. There's some purists in it.
The only thing, like, most people's opinions on hot dogs, do what you're going to do with it. I don't care. The one I can't get on board with that people seem to love is this sauerkraut thing. And I just can't do it. It's not for me.
On a Polish sausage, I guess, but it's awful strong taste.
Very much so. Again, appreciate Mickey Sudo for joining us, though, fresh off of her 10th championship earlier this morning. It was awesome. How about this? In college football, conference realignment continues to just shift all over the place. Going into this year in 2024, would Palm have a qualm with more than one team in a new conference winning its respective league?
No. Because I think Utah can win the Big 12, and I think Texas can win the SEC.
Love Utah.
Utah, okay. Right? And I think they're the favorite in some markets, or close to the favorite. I think Utah is going to be really tough in the Big. I don't think they can, and it's going to be the Big 10 or the Big 18 or 16 or whatever it is now, because I think Ohio State is just so good they're going to win that division. But I think the best shots are Utah and Texas, so I don't have a qualm with that.
I agree with you there. And Utah, looking at their season win total, it's only 9.5. If you go through that thing, it's it's hard to find two losses. I've got to be honest with you. If they stay healthy, they should be in good shape.
Is Kyle Whittingham the most underrated head coach in college football history?
One of the best in the sport.
Right?
Yes.
Every year. All they do is every year.
They're going to have an elite defense. Cam Rising in year 22 of college football as well. We'll be fine. One team that a lot of people are not particularly high on, though, the Clemson Tigers coming into this year in the ACC to make the college football playoff. It's plus 190. Would you be interested in betting on Clemson? Would you have a qualm with this bet?
Well, what's their price to win the ACC? It's lower than that? Because if they win the ACC, they're gonna be in the college football playoff. I think that they struggled a little bit last year, and then they got that phony call to Tyler from Spartanburg, whole nonsense that set up, and then they whacked Notre Dame.
I haven't thought about that in a while. Yeah,
that was a setup. Well, Tyler, with the Dabo, that whole nonsense. He's going to take 8 minutes on a phone call from some kid from Spartanburg. No, I have no qualm with plus 190 to make the playoffs.
Plus 190 to make the playoffs. They're the second shortest shot in the ACC. Florida State, a plus 290 favorite. Clemson, plus 350. I love the little guy in college football as well. And I was looking through teams, I think, from the group of five that could potentially make the college football playoff. And the more I looked at Boise State, the more I liked them. Would you have a qualm with my 6-1 Boise State to make the CFP?
So you think they will go undefeated? What's your theory there and their path to the playoff?
As far as their schedule goes, I think that it is extremely manageable for them to go through, not be undefeated, but lose one game and win the Mountain West Conference.
Who's their main competition in the Mountain West?
Well, it depends on who you think is going to be. I mean, I don't think that anyone can beat them in the Mountain West Conference if they stay healthy, first and foremost. I love what Spencer Danielson did taking over last year. It's like getting Andy Avalos. You know how sometimes it's addition by subtraction? Getting Andy Avalos out of the building, the team really seemed to respond to him. Spencer Danielson, a defensive guy, I think that side of the ball will be really good. They have, in my opinion, the best group of five player overall at running back in Ashton Jeanty coming back. Fresno State on paper is going to be your biggest competition. UNLV played Boise State for the Mountain West title last year, but it's hard for me to really imagine them getting that far. As far as the schedule goes, I think Boise State. So qualm or no qualm?
Well, meanwhile, we have our Mountain West coming next week.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on their show on Wednesday afternoon on their live broadcast. You'll be around. We love having them here. I'm just looking if they can. So they play at Oregon week two.
That's the loss.
No shot to win there?
They're going to be favored in every other game but that one.
Do you think if they get blown out in Eugene, they still have a shot?
I do, because it's so early in the season.
Okay. The other two, no.
Just like think about Texas, Alabama last year, right?
I'm just looking at their road games at Hawaii, at UNLV, at San Jose State. How much did they lose? They were good last year.
Well, and they lose their head coach, Brent Brennan, to Arizona.
Oregon State at home. I guess they get the right schedule with the conference. They get the tough teams at home.
Well, yeah, and they get those Pac-2 teams, right?
Yeah.
The two Pac-2 teams. They get them, which I think will bolster the resume a little bit too, outside of just their typical Mountain West schedule. So I like them. I think Memphis would be the other potential G5 team. It's not going to be Liberty. They have the easiest schedule in all of college football, and they did what they did in
the Fiesta Bowl last year.
Exactly. It's still the selection committee is biased at the end of the day. Okay, like we're still humans.
I like taking shots with these teams. I hit it with Cincinnati a couple of years ago to make the playoffs at 14-1 because I said if they can win that game at Notre Dame, they're going to be in. I have no qualm with this. But you've made a nice argument here.
Yes. Okay, a couple more. Fireworks after 11 p.m. on the 4th of July.
It's ridiculous. It's not New Year's Eve. You don't have to have fireworks at midnight.
1:30 in the morning for me yesterday, trying to sleep. Just boom, 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 boom.
9 to 11 is a fine window. People start doing them in the daylight. I mean, they're going off at 4:30 when we got home yesterday. It's ridiculous. The dogs. You make the dogs suffer.
Oh, yeah. You have kids, too. Yeah. That's not a good time.
The two-year-old kept saying, what's that? He's in bed. Let's go to sleep. Oh, what's that?
Oh, no. With all the Dak Prescott news today, would Palm have a qualm with deep-sea fishing? Thought that was a fun one to throw in here today.
Why? People enjoy deep-sea fishing. I have no qualm with that.
Take your Dramamine. Get a walking boot. You'll be just fine.
How about ice fishing? Do you have a qualm with ice fishing?
I've never done it before. I would love to try it. No qualm. let's hit with a little NHL here real quickly. The Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup this year. Would you have a qualm with them repeating at 9-1?
Paul Maurice wants Winnipeg to win now, so I have a qualm. He has no interest in Florida repeating. He's putting all his energy
Did you not get chills, though, with some of his post-game interview stuff, the getting his family name on the cup, talking to his dad?
I thought with SVP, when he talked about there's 8 minutes to go, are you counting the clock just to get this over with? And he said, no, I wanted it to go slower. Ugh. I wanted to live every second of it.
I got chills even you saying it.
Well, I was very much rooting for Paul Maurice. And Banks is good friends with Paul Maurice. I mean,
awesome.
They keep saying the losingest coach. I hated that throughout the losingest coach in NHL history. Not even the worst winning percentage. He just coached the longest.
But for the length with which he's been a coach to not have had a Stanley Cup, now you have it.
Remember the first year for the Knights? That was a big upset when we beat them in the Western Conference Finals. They were a better team, I thought.
Awesome stuff. Always appreciate Mike Palm Fridays. That's a wrap for us. Sharp Money coming up next. Pablo Torre on DraftKings Network.